So I have a short message today. So, well, actually, silence our cell phones, please. If you need to use the restroom, please use that bathroom. And at the end of service, people have been putting prayer requests in for us, and our pastor takes them home, and she forwards them to her husband and myself, and we pray for you all during the week. So please take advantage of that. And before I give my message, I even forgot to tell this to our pastor when I was spending some time with her the other day. But when I recently went and spent some time with my daughter and her family, I took my daughter to lunch. And when I took my daughter to lunch, in the table right next to us, this young girl was looking at me like this. And so she stayed like that, like staring at me. So I said to my daughter, "This something's like wrong with my face. Is my nose clean? This girl is staring at me." She's like, "Ma, would you stop? Like, please, like, get over yourself. You better not say anything." And so she would close her mouth, but then she would lean in. So I did like a hi, and she did a hi back, and I'm like, "Are we okay?" Like, I knew she didn't know me because it wasn't anywhere near me. And so she gets up and she says, may I touch you? And I said, sure. And she touched me and she said, "You look just like my mom." She said, "My mom passed away recently and I never got a chance to say goodbye to her." So she says, "When me and my companion get up and leave, is it okay if I turn around and wave at you? Could you wave at me and I'll feel like my mom waved goodbye?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I kind of finished eating, like steady watching this woman leave, and she gets, you know, by the cashier to the door, and she turns around and she waves at me, and I waved by at her. Well, my daughter and I finished eating and chatting. And when I got to pay the bill, had the bill in front of me, it was like double what the bill should have been. So I said to the lady at the cash register, like, "Here's my bill. Why is this bill now like twice the price?" And she said, "Well, your daughter said that you were going to pay this bill." And she was pulling my leg, and I'm pulling your leg. I don't know if I'm just teasing. I'm pulling your leg. I have a lot of time this morning, but my message is like a very short message. So I thought I'd give a little icebreaker. But before I pray, in all seriousness, I want to piggyback Craig, who talked about what type of church we have. And as I stand before you this morning, I'm just so grateful that my pastors give me the freedom and the liberty to be where I'm at and who I am. And you will see that from my message this morning. And that's really the acceptance of Christ, because that's where he knows us, where we're at, and who we are. And he loves and accepts us for that. And so I'm just so grateful that they allow me to be that. So let's pray. Dear sweet Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity again to share this morning. I pray that today, as in each Sunday that we gather together, that people will see them more and more as you see them, dearly loved, cherished, but also filled with hope. I know our pastors talk about hope, and I pray that their hope will be refreshed after meeting with us on Sundays. Help us to trust you and to believe that your will is best for our lives. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And help us to remember this when we're faced with fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So today will be our second Sunday on a new series we've begun on letting go. And last week, our pastor did a sermon on letting go of bitterness. Today, I will do a brief message, not sermon, on letting go of fear. I never considered myself to be a particularly fearful person, but I've come to understand I wasn't self-aware enough to realize my fear. And I kept hearing the word fear inside my head and in my spirit, but couldn't figure out why I kept getting this word, fear, fear. It's almost audible. Now, I felt the effects of fear, but they were just symptoms. And I had no idea that those symptoms I was feeling were connected to fear. They were the leaves, right? They were the outward, but not the root, right? So we always want to get to the root of the issue or the problem. Some of my symptoms were major, major butterflies in my stomach. Just this disquiet, this ill at ease, sweating, sometimes chills, frequent headaches. And when I looked online, fear can produce different symptoms in different people, right? So it could be kind of particular to you. Definitely a disquiet and an ill at ease. Interesting that whether or not we are aware of fear, God knows all about it. He knows all about us. And fear, unfortunately, can be a primary motivating area of our life. We can do stuff out of fear. And have you ever made a really bad choice or a really bad decision, an impulsive decision even, that was wrong or hurtful when you look back? Well, it could have been based out of fear. I believe that is why the single most common verse in the Bible is to not be afraid and is not to fear. Would you believe? I think I might have heard Craig say this a couple of years ago. Would you believe that there are 365 verses in the Bible that talk about fear? So there's one for every day. Except for leap year, we'd have to read one again. And we're actually in leap year this year. Well, let's look at a verse on fear from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The first one is Isaiah 4:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now let's look at the New Testament scripture, one of them. John says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are commands of God. Just think, if God makes this single most common command to us, how big of a problem do you think fear is in our natural and in our spiritual lives? I read an author recently on a book I've had for a couple of years. I pick it up every now and again. The title is called Soul Care by a pastor here in New York called Rob Reiner. And he says fear is a fundamental spiritual development problem. So you can choose to understand fear as an area of your spiritual walk where you're needing some development, you're needing some maturity. I certainly receive that. I can attest to acting out on fear rather than faith at times. Let's look a little more closely, using myself as an example. I've been seeing a therapist for almost 2 years now, and during a recent visit, she took me back to an experience that was traumatic when I was 18, my brother was 19, we were in the car, our mother was 42, we were hit on by, what do you call it? Hit on?
Head
head-on collision by a drunk driver. He and our mom died instantly. Life after this was no longer safe for me. Never had a chance to explain this. Wasn't in any type of therapy or anything. People would ask me how I was, and I'd say, I'm fine. I'm okay. But life was no longer safe. It was no longer predictable. It was unkind. And I believe from that point, I became fearful of life and things in life. Now, my father died a little over a year later. My brother would die 4 years later. My husband would commit suicide about 10 years later. So my therapist said that I probably also suffer from PTSD, and I self-medicated for years with drugs and relationships with men. Now, did I finish college? Finished college in England in like 79. I had some good jobs. I was a substitute teacher for about 5 years. I worked for State Farm for a little over 7 years. But things in our life start innocuous. Like I think of that guy that did one of the biggest scams, Bernie Madoff, who made off with billions of people's dollars, right? It began innocuous. No one noticed, you know, and that's how gum disease or tooth disease or heart disease, or that's how I became infected with HIV. I didn't just wake up one day with HIV. I was in at-risk behaviors that led up to that. If we don't take care of something, we're going to end up with something, right? If we do spend a little time in prayer, if we do save a little here, it's going to wind up with something good. Taking care of our bodies, like my pastor is such a picture of someone who takes care of her body mentally, physically, and spiritually. And little by little, those things add up to a healthy human being. So I self-medicated for years, became addicted, I believe, at the age of 34. So you kind of had from 18 to 34, where I was kind of doing life on life's terms, just a little bit of drug here or there, but 34, forget about it. Well, when writing this message, I had this vision of calling four people up and asking them to just walk around me and just circle around me and then come closer and then start, you know, in an appropriate way, touching me, because I had this vision of my walking with fear, anxiety, depression, and PTSD, which my therapist says was pretty much for 50 years. So I thought that might have been a good visual. So let's take a peek before I close at my spiritual life. I love the Lord. He is my friend. He's my savior. He's my father. I love spending time with him every day. I love the Bible. I read it pretty much every day of my life. So why am I even suffering worse these past 2 years, which led me to a therapist? Because I haven't always chosen God in my time of disquiet or anxiety or depression. I have turned to cigarettes, to smoking cigarettes. They not only seem to calm my fear and my anxiety, but they were also at times enjoyable. So when fear lurks in our hearts, this same gentleman that wrote that book, Soul Care, Rob Reiner, says, where it's bound to cost us immeasurably, and he goes on to use Psalm 139, 23 and 24 from David. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this writer, Rob Reiner, says that David prayed not only that God would test him and see if he had any anxious thoughts lurking in his soul, because he knew, this writer says, that David knew that anxious thoughts could be the seeds of rebellion against God, if not addressed. How interesting. It's often our anxious, fearful thoughts that go before our sin, our decision to do something that we know is not right. We know either from the Word of God, we know either from hearing teachings about God or our own time with God. We know. And this guy said, but if we'll listen to God, it can prevent disasters, health disasters, relationship disasters, financial disasters. I read last night online, love to search Google, love to search online, that it said, smoking shrinks your brain. Well, I was like, well, good Lord, Vivian, you're not working with a whole lot as it is. You're having a little bit of trouble already with short-term memory. When I read that, I was like, good Lord. And so I often recite the part that I can remember of 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love. I mean, that didn't have to do with my just learning about cigarettes in my brain, but there's no fear in love. So what's going on when I feel fear? Well, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. It's not talking about the love of my pastor or the love of my daughter or the love of any of you. It's talking about the love of God. And I try to say to myself, when I'm feeling fearful, perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And sometimes I don't want to do the work of following on with trusting and believing that, and I'll just go and pick up a cigarette because I'm feeling fearful and I want it over and done with and I want a quick fix. Don't forget I was an addict. I know how to get something quick to take a feeling or a situation away, and it never ever leads to anything good. I know this. I stand before you, almost ashamed to tell you. So my therapist asked me to write down, and I do sometimes, what I'm feeling when I want to smoke. So it is anxiety. It is sometimes rebellion. It is sometimes depression. And it is sometimes fear. So the perfect love of Christ, I've tried him before, and it really is enough. He really is enough, no matter what confronts us. If we will stop and suffer a little bit through that thing and accept it, if we will soak in his love, his perfect love, then our fears will be broken this side of heaven, and we will find the peace that comes from heaven. The peace of God will cause us to have rest in our soul, which is our personality, our emotions, who we are, what is, it's just us, right? Our soul. We can have that. Jesus has peace to offer us that can go beyond our reality and trump our circumstances. We just have to have faith and believe in that and want it. I have begun journaling and talking to God about how fear threatens the foundation of my value. Fear can threaten the foundation. If we're fearful, we can have trouble with the foundation of our value. And I have to remember reading that it was settled at the cross. Jesus died for me. If no one else loves me, if no one else gets me, if no one else values me, he does. And he gave up his life for me. But you see, I received many messages years and years and years ago that I wasn't enough. Some, I'm sure, were unintentional from my dad. I received messages from my husband, who really didn't love me very much, that were painful, from peers, from society. How many of you have, when you look at magazines and models and judge yourself by them, what's that called? Comparing. Thank you. We used to compare myself. I remember one time I was on the train almost as a 50-year-old woman, and I was comparing myself to these young girls on the train who were so gorgeous and so cute and so tiny and so figury. And then I realized, Vivian, why are you comparing yourselves to these young girls? But I got messages that I wasn't enough. And I also had very low self-esteem all my life. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't smart enough. I just wasn't enough for anything or anybody. What a faulty foundation. God is a firm foundation. And I am going to go forward trusting Him. I will continue to surrender my life to Him. I do it in an interesting way now. When I have my prayer time with God, I don't want to make vows. Oh, Lord, I surrender it all. I'm giving this to you. I mean, in a deeper way, which I'm not going to tell you how I say it. But I'm not even doing that anymore. I'm just being conscious that this is something I need to do. I need to surrender negativity, fear, whatever I'm reaching for. Because, you know, we also have a fear of not being loved. And so we can reach of things when we're afraid that we're not loved or not feeling loved that may not be what God could. It could be food, it could be sweets, we could just be whatever, right? So please take a look at your fears. Write your fears down. Talk to God about them. Self-awareness is a gateway to freedom. Go for therapy. Talk to a trusted friend or an advisor. Talk to our pastors. You know, every really famous person in the Bible, every single wonderful famous person in the Bible had a coach, someone that was like my pastor for me, a little further on than them, that you could go to and talk to. Because we don't really want to just, you can have friends that are on our same level, but sometimes we'll just swirl around the thing, right? We need somebody who's a little bit further on with us. And to end, please know there is peace. When I don't smoke, I might be a little anxious, because it seems to calm that. But I have more peace, you know, like I didn't smoke today. And I had anxiety, but I had peace. I needed that before I could come in before you this morning. But I need that for myself too. I need it for myself tomorrow. So choose to believe. Let's end. Thanks, Mari, with this again. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And one of my favorite devotionals, Beth Moore, for today, January 28th, gives the scripture, I meant to read it earlier, that there's no fear in love. And she says, have you ever feared that someone would cease loving you? She says, not only has she feared it, she's experienced it, but God has carefully and graciously allowed some of her fears to come true so she would discover that she would not disintegrate, that she could survive on God's unfailing love. It wasn't fun, she said, but it was there and it was transformative. You can come up, I'm going to pray out. Another little thing I got from my daughter that I'm going to put up. Today, I will be as happy as a bird with a French fry. I really need to put a hole in it and put it around my neck and wear it as a necklace. But we can choose. And, you know, I started speaking that into myself, you know, this morning. I'm going to be happy today. It's going to be a happy day. I'm not going to think sad or down thoughts. I also forgot to give us candy that was given me, so I'll put it for us on that table. Let's pray. Oh, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. When our souls are out of alignment with you, when sin raises its head in our lives, Please don't ever stop loving us or embracing us or caring for us. Please shed your light into our hearts. Continue to show us the truth, oh God, and the unhealthy things that we may be reaching for and resting on. Give us the desire and the courage to follow through with healthier living, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Thank you for giving us time and time again for moments of opportunity to get back in alignment with you. Jesus, we just need to say yes to you and surrender our lives to you, maybe on a daily basis as we're able, oh God. Thank you that your blood is greater than all our sin and your love is stronger than our waywardness. And whenever we fear that you won't be enough, that at that moment, please draw us closer. Oh, we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.